You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. This is the first episode of 2026. So let me just start by saying Happy New Year. I pray that your holiday season was amazing, that it was restful. I pray that if 2025 was not a great year for you, that as you enter into 2026, that you feel the comfort of the Lord, that no matter what this year may bring, that He is with you, that He is guiding you, and He will carry you through whatever 2026 has to bring. And for all of us, I rebuke every plan of the enemy to try to kill, steal, and destroy what God has for us this year. Anything that he is conjuring up to try to throw us off, to bring calamity, tragedy, or any type of hurt to us, we rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. And I pray that the excitement that many of us enter into a new year with will continue to sustain us all the way to the end. So I am very excited about what God has for us this year. I'm excited about this podcast because we are celebrating a new milestone. This year marks 9 years of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. Nine. It just blows my mind to even think about the fact that I have been on this microphone multiple times a week at this point for years. I have been showing up in this space every week for 9 entire years. This is hands down the most consistent thing that I have ever done. And I count it an honor for the Lord to continue to use me in this way. I count it an honor for all of you who, whether you are new here, whether you've been listening for a long time, I just say thank you. If you've ever shared this podcast, thank you. If you tell people about it, thank you. If you just listen on your own, thank you. If you've ever left a review, thank you. Matter of fact, for our anniversary, can y'all do me a favor and leave a 5-star review here on the podcast? Let people know what's your favorite thing about this podcast. So for those who may be just finding us in 2026, they'll be able to see what the Lord has done over the last 9 years. What is really tripping me out is that we're going to have to do something for year 10. And I'm not trying to rush it and get ahead of myself, but 10 years is a milestone. And so I don't know if I want to do a live event or I don't know. I have no idea. I'm thinking maybe some type of rebrand. There will be some things that I'm testing out this year that you'll see with like my YouTube channel and the podcast. So make sure you're subscribed to my YouTube channel. I'll put the link in the show notes for you. But yeah, there's some things that I'll be testing out in hopes that once we get to year 10, I'll have like some big announcement of some sort. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm grateful for the now, for it being 9 years of this show. And I want to say thank you to all of you who continue to let me into your life every single week, month, or however often you listen. I have a couple of church announcements before we get started. The first one, please make sure that you subscribe to my YouTube channel. As you all know, over the years, I have wrestled with video versus audio for the podcast, and I'm still in the same space of not committing to a full video podcast. However, with understanding the growing landscape, there will be video elements. So there will be some episodes that I do just for YouTube that I'll bring to the podcast. There will be some podcast episodes that I will record live. So make sure you're on my email list. I'll put the link to that in the show notes. If you're already on my email list, you know I've been sending out emails over the holidays where I've been doing some interviews that you'll hear over the next couple of months here on the show. There'll be times where I have a video podcast and it'll air on both the podcast and YouTube. So there will be a mix of content formats. So make sure that you are subscribed here on the podcast as well as YouTube. The next church announcement is I want to invite you guys to activate a free trial into the Society. The Society is our membership program that started out as an extension to the podcast. I was struggling with finding a place in my own life that allowed me to fully show up as a Christian and as an entrepreneur. I found Christian spaces, but it felt like something was missing because I couldn't talk about my entrepreneurial goals. And then I found business spaces, but something was missing because I felt like I couldn't talk about Jesus in those spaces. And so I created the Society because I felt that we as Christian entrepreneurs needed a space where we could show up fully as our full selves, not leaving anything out. And so that's how the Society was birthed. Over the years, we've grown. It started off with just me. Now there are three of us who are hosting the Society. It started off as a for-profit arm to the podcast. Now it's a full nonprofit program under the Anchored Media Foundation. There is just so many ways that we've grown over the years. Something that I'm doing specifically this year, though, this is why I'm reminding you guys to come join, is I am bringing into the Society a program that I did a few years ago. A business coaching program where it was all about executive leadership. It was called the She is Uncompromising Executive Leadership Training. And I covered throughout that coaching program all aspects of business from operations, marketing, accounting, the legal side. I had my lawyer donate a class to talk about the legal elements of business that you need to consider. My husband, who was a CPA, did four whole modules all about accounting for businesses, operating costs, budgets, projections, how to read your P&L statements, which is your profit and loss statements. I did sessions on building your business plan, your strategic plan. I did all marketing sessions on how to validate your idea, how to build your marketing plan, how to come up with your buyer's journey, and anything that is relevant to the operation of a business was covered in this program. And I decided to bring that program over into the Society. So all of those modules, that program was over $1,000. All of those modules, minus the legal one, I'm not bringing the legal one over because I had permission to use it for the program, not necessarily for the Society. So I'm not going to bring that one over here. But all the other ones I am bringing into the Society, and it was about 12 modules or so. So every month a new module will air, and we have a subgroup within the Society specific. I call it the Business Bestie section, specifically for Christian entrepreneurs to connect with each other and talk about all the things that you'll be learning. So I'm very excited about that. The Society is only $19.99 a month. Like I said, that was a $1,000 program that's getting included into this $19.99 a month membership. And then you still get access to everything else in the Society, the prayer calls, the Bible studies, the community building, the network, all of those things. So I'm really excited about bringing this over. The first module will air at the end of January. Whenever you join the Society, you get a free 2-week trial, so you could join us for free. So click the link in the show notes to activate that free trial. I look forward to seeing you in there, and I look forward to serving you this year and helping you grow your business in the Society as well as here on this podcast. Now, usually every year, the first episode of the year is more of a reflective episode. I always tell you guys, look, we're going to get to the teaching, but we have to reflect and thank the Lord for what he's done on the first episode of the year, especially because it's our anniversary episode. I just finished my notes for the next episode, which is about what AI means for Christian entrepreneurs. I'm excited to record that hopefully later today. But for today, I want to share with you 9 lessons that I have learned over the last 9 years of entrepreneurship as well as this podcast. I have been an entrepreneur for this year will make 11 years. I've been a full-time entrepreneur this year will make 9 years. And over time, there have been so many lessons that the Lord has taught me, some by revelation, some by hard mistakes. And I want to share those with you in an effort to encourage you and give you also practical tips as you seek to grow, launch, build what the Lord has called you to do this year. So the first lesson that I want to share is embrace being a pioneer. When I first started this podcast, podcasting was emerging as audio blogging, where we were in a time as far as like the digital brand building landscape, where the early YouTube girlies were in their prime. Blogging was a huge platform for people to build their brands. Twitter was established, but it was more so a place where people were venting and having conversations about things, not necessarily fully building brands. And I'm going to put an asterisk on that because you had spaces on Twitter like Black Twitter, where a lot of personalities, but based off of their humor and their commentary, were able to build brands there. So let's actually add Twitter in there. So you had Twitter, specifically Black Twitter, that were allowing people to build brands. You had Instagram, which was emerging as well, where people were learning how to use this emerging, exciting new picture sharing platform to establish themselves. And the culture of Instagram around that time was everybody was in a space where you had to present your best self because this was a picture sharing platform. So folks had their filters, face, beat, perfect imagery. Like that was the culture that was being created if you wanted to build a brand on Instagram. Now for me, I wanted to build a brand via podcasting because I saw it as a great opportunity to get in with something that was emerging. So at this time, a lot of millennials, studies were showing, were moving towards podcasting. Podcast became like this educational platform. I personally fell in love with it. I listened to entertainment podcasts. I listened to business podcasts, and it was a great medium for me personally. And of course, because I loved it and I was able to see where the market was moving and I had this ambition of building a brand online, it seemed like the perfect opportunity for me to get in. I didn't have to worry about how I looked because it was audio only. I didn't have to have my phone up all the time because once I recorded it and put it out, like that was it. I didn't have to live in this space as you would on like YouTube or Instagram or Twitter. So it just seemed like the perfect platform for what I was trying to build and how I was trying to build it. Now, the reason why I say being a pioneer or embrace being a pioneer is one of my lessons over the last 9 years is because while I was excited about what I was looking to do, it was very isolating and it came with a lot of naysayers. I would be in business masterminds because at this time I was in a business coaching program and meeting more entrepreneurs and really engulfing myself into this space. And a lot of people will say, well, why are you trying to build a business and using a podcast to funnel into the business? You're doing something for free. You don't need to show up in that way for free. Where I would have other people like, no, you need to be doing this. You need to be doing that. And it was frustrating because this is a space that, the code hadn't been cracked just yet. It was emerging. I had a vision of what I knew this space could be based upon research and what I now know the Lord was showing me. Those of you who are new here, the show didn't start off as Blessed and Bossed Up. We didn't start off talking about making God the CEO of your business. This was a show with myself and a co-host talking about the journey of entrepreneurship. And around that time, I was also growing in my faith. And so I could recognize looking back now that the Lord was giving me fresh vision for this emerging lane of podcasting. Now, many of you, the Lord has given you fresh vision to whatever your particular area of influence is. And what happens when the Lord has called us to places that are emerging is that the enemy will try to use what we're pioneering to cause us to feel isolated and alone. And then that just distracts us away from simply focusing on the Lord and obeying, and it magnifies the voices of the naysayers. It magnifies our own internal doubts. It magnifies all of the ways in which we feel like we lack, as opposed to us recognizing and appreciating that the Lord loves us and trusts us so much that He has given us this assignment to pioneer in some way. You see the difference in perspective here? If you don't embrace being a pioneer and embrace the joy that comes with being called by the Lord, then the enemy can successfully shift your perspective away from what God is doing into what you lack. It reminds me of when the disciples and Jesus were on a boat and the storm came and Jesus invited Peter to walk on water. And Peter was successfully able to walk on the water until he started looking around at what was happening around him. Then he started to sink. It's the same temptation. To where, as we are embarking on this journey of building businesses and building brands, we have to stay focused on the Lord. The second that we successfully allow the enemy to take our eyes off of Jesus, we start to sink.
This episode is brought to you by IXL. The holidays are behind us, the kids are settled back into school routines, and IXL helps them refresh what they learned in the fall and head into a new semester feeling confident and prepared. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math, building writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. It covers math, language arts, science, social studies from pre-K all the way through 12th grade with interactive content that's personalized, engaging, and actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep kids motivated as they head into the second half of the school year. We use IXL in my house daily. My son loves how interactive and fun the interface is. It makes him feel like he's playing a game. It's also so user-friendly that oftentimes I'll tell him, hey, give me 3 IXL lessons and he'll go grab his tablet and he can get them done without my help. I love that I have a gifted child, so I always like to challenge him to take him above his kindergarten grade level. And I love that IXL is able to adjust with us and build on his strengths and improve upon areas that he can grow in. IXL saves us both time and money. One subscription gets you everything. It's one site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. I know for me, I'm a mom of 3, and that is very important. And if your child is struggling, this is the smartest investment that you can make because a single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. Make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. This episode is brought to you by Marley Spoon. Every year, I make these goals to get better with my meal planning, but something always goes awry because my life just needs flexibility. So what finally clicked for me is that I realized that meals don't have to look one specific way. They just have to fit your life. That's what Marley Spoon does really well. What I love is that Marley Spoon actually adapts with you. Some nights you cook, some nights you heat, and some nights you just need dinner done really fast. They've got options for all of it, so that means it fits your schedule, not the other way around. Now, I'm a foodie, so flavor and variety is a must for me. And what I love is that they give you over 100 recipes to choose from each week. We're talking comforting classics like the chicken mayonnaise and cucumber arugula salad to fresh, balanced dishes like everything bagel salmon and truffle chive potatoes and green beans, all made with quality ingredients. And there's something for whatever you have a taste for. Marley Spoon has tons of options in their marketplace, from meal shortcuts and drinks to fresh groceries that you can add on each week. And for those nights where you need dinner ASAP, Marley Spoon's prepared meals are exactly what they sound like: convenient, delicious, and on the table in minutes. This is a lifesaver for me if I have a lot of studying to do, a long day, and I just don't feel like cooking. You'll find these on every weekly menu, and if you've got a few extra minutes, they have some great 20-minute options too. My personal favorite hack is those tray bake dinners. You literally just throw everything on one tray, boom, you're done. And they even include the actual tray. My favorite meal from Marley Spoon was this falafel pita. I was in the middle of cooking and organizing things for the new year, and I was hungry. I wanted something fresh, wanted something fast. And the falafel pita was perfect. It was done in 20 minutes. And what was even better is it's husband-proof. My husband is not a great cook whatsoever, but he was able to make it and it was delicious thanks to their easy-to-follow instructions. This year, fast track your way to eating well with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/blessed for up to 25 free meals. That's right, up to 25 free meals with Marley Spoon. That's marleyspoon.com/offer/blessed for up to 25 free meals. This episode is brought to you by one of my favorite brands as a mom of three, Bobby's. Bobby's USDA organic, European-inspired infant formulas were created by moms who couldn't find a formula that met their standards, so they decided to make one themselves. Like the moms who started Bobby, I found it so difficult by the time I had my second son to find formula that met the clean label standards that I was looking for. I had used other brands in the past with my oldest son, but I was not satisfied at all. I couldn't pronounce some of the things on the label. I wasn't confident that I was giving my son the best nutrition, and it was very frustrating. And that led me down the rabbit hole of finding a better formula. And that's how I actually came across Bobby. I love that they had a full suite of recipes along with their certifications. They were USDA Organic, EU Organic, Clean Label Project Purity Award, and Clean Label Project Certified Pesticide Free. They had awards such as their Baby List 2025 Top Choices Organic Formula and being named a 2025 Top Choice by Consumer Reports. As a mom who combo fed, I also loved how inclusive they were. And they supported all feeding journeys, whether breastfeeding, combo feeding, or exclusively using formula. So after all of this research, I knew that Bobby was the formula that I wanted to use with my children. And best of all, my son loved it. We didn't have all of the issues that we had with previous brands. And now that I have a new baby, I know that should I ever need or want to use formula, Bobby will be my go-to any of their products. If you want to feed with confidence too, head to HiBobby.com. That's HiBobby.com to find the formula trusted by parents and loved by their babies, 700,000 and counting.
And so I specifically say embrace being a pioneer because a big part of my journey over the last 9 years has been stepping into these emerging spaces. And many of you, the Lord has called you to step in these emerging spaces. We're going to talk about AI on the next podcast episode, but I genuinely believe that there are a lot of the Lord's people that He has called into this technology space, into this artificial intelligence development space to make sure that His hand is in it. And so that while the enemy may try to pervert it in some ways, I believe that the Lord is calling His people to this space as well. This is an emerging space. And if we focus on what we don't have, what we lack, and how nobody understands, and I feel alone, and blah, 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 insert whatever pain point you may have, if we focus on all of those things and not just keep our eyes on the Lord, we will sink. And so I tell you, 9 years removed from starting this podcast and really building this business full time, embrace being a pioneer, because not only will it pay off in eternal rewards. Not only will it pay off in knowing that you are following the Lord and you could take comfort and have peace in that, it also pays off financially. When you pioneer a space and all the hits that you may take and trying to figure it out on your own and trial and error, yeah, those things don't feel good, but you know what it gives you? It gives you wisdom, it gives you knowledge, and it builds your skill set for you to be able to then sell that knowledge, wisdom, and skill set to others so that they don't make the same mistake. In building Anchored Media and working with podcasters over the years, I have been able to help Christian entrepreneurs cut time off by not making the same mistakes that I did. They monetize faster, they grow their shows faster, they start working with sponsors faster based upon the knowledge and the expertise that I gained by being a pioneer in this space, being an OG, if you will, in this space. So by the Lord calling me to an area that was emerging, I was able to test different strategies, make mistakes, learn lessons, really hone my expertise without a lot of competition. I was able to take advantage of the fact that it wasn't a lot of competition. So a lot of the growth and the foundational audience that I was able to establish was thanks to the fact that there were not many other shows like me, or any for that matter, like this one. And so not only was it beneficial then, but it continued to prove to be beneficial as I built a multi-six-figure business from this podcast. And so looking back, I have this as my first lesson that I want you to take heed to: embrace being a pioneer, because I want to give you a sobering perspective. I know sometimes when you're in the midst of it, God is calling you to something that is new, that's emerging, that people don't understand. You may not fully understand. You don't get it all the way. Those emotions can be loud. They can be consuming. It could make you want to quit. It could make you want to run and hide. But I want to give you a sobering perspective from me being 9 years in to embrace this space that you're in, because it will pay off. And I'm not telling you that by just giving you lip service or some motivation, but by evidence of my own experience that it will pay off. So continue to focus on him. Now, the second lesson may be a bit unpopular, but I'm standing 10 toes down on it. Treat your business, treat your brand, treat the platform that you're building as your job and not your identity. I know for Christians, this may be difficult to grasp because a lot of these things were birthed out of our testimonies. And so consequently, it feels like a part of our identity. But trust me, there has to be a certain level of separation because these are brands and businesses. So yeah, you may have influenced it or inspired it based off of your experiences or what the Lord has shared with you, but it is still your job and it should be treated as such, because if it becomes your identity, that will be detrimental to the business itself, you as an individual, and to the people that you're called to help. Let me explain. If your business becomes your identity and you experience a season to where sales are declining, you start to take that as a personal attack. You start to take that as something that's a jab to your self-esteem, as a jab to you as an individual. Versus if you look at it as if your job, you see sales declining, then you take it upon yourself to see, okay, what happened? Let me look at this objectively. Let me see where there may be a disconnect in the communication and the marketing and the product or service itself. Let me listen and see what my audience and my customers are talking about. When you approach it as a job and not your identity, you can remove your feelings out of it enough to actually start to reverse should things take a turn that you're not satisfied with. It hurts your audience because when it's so much of your identity, it becomes less about the transformation that you could have them take. So for me in podcasting, when it comes to every episode, there is a message that the Lord wants me to convey. And then after I have that message and I sit down to do my notes, I think, where is my audience once they hit play on this episode? Where do I want them to be based off of this message? Do I want them to start having business meetings with God? Do I want them to start searching their Bible for answers for their business problems? What is it? Now, once I am clear as to where they are, where my message is supposed to take them, then I craft the message in a way that facilitates that transition. You guys hear often, sometimes I might add a download or something extra that I feel like will be helpful to get you to point B. We may spend a lot of time talking about the history or psychology behind a thing in order for me to best get you to understand a concept before I can move you from point A to point B. Every way in which we approach an episode is strategic to facilitate that growth. My own personal stories and testimonies are only incorporated to emphasize a point, to maybe modernize something that we may be discussing in the text, maybe to connect and encourage you, to let you know you're not doing this on your own. My story is just simply supplemental, but it is not the full message. This isn't about me. This is about me doing the work of the Lord. And because I have a job to do, I come on here to show up and do it. And that allows me to, again, approach this not just making it about me, in how successful the Lord has made me because I made him the CEO of my business. No, but it allows me to highlight you. And now this show becomes a resource that helps you grow. And guess what? Because you as the listener have adopted this as something that helps you grow, you tell other people like you about it, you come back every single week, all of these things then turn around and benefit me as the person doing the job. Because I get paid more in advertisers, I get more conversions into the business things that I may offer here. And most importantly, as you follow the things that we discuss here on the podcast, this allows you to grow closer to the Lord, and it equips you with what you need to then go and start your own businesses and grow your own brands and platforms, which wins more souls for the body of Christ. And so when I say treat it as your job and not your identity, what that does is it adds an element of separation so that you could keep the main thing the main thing. One of the things that is like an undertone of everything that we discuss is how easy it is as Christian entrepreneurs to get swept into pride. And this is one of the ways in which that happens, because if you don't have the element of separation between you as an individual and the assignment, then the assignment becomes about you and not about the Lord. And so that separation is a guardrail in a sense to where you protect the sacredness and the purity of what you're building. Along those same lines, the third lesson that I want you to take is having a testimony doesn't absolve you from being skilled at what you do. Many of us, again, our personal stories and testimonies may have been the inspiration for the business, the brand, the platform, but that does not absolve you from being skilled and doing business, marketing, brand building, communicating, writing, whatever, well. My husband shared with me a quote that I was like, it was on the nose. He said that he read somewhere that people in Asian cultures refer to the American business plan as ready, shoot, aim. Listen to how that sounds. Ready, shoot, aim. That doesn't make sense, does it? But it is a perfect and accurate representation of the flawed process that many of us go through. I think we can attribute part of it to capitalism, hustle culture, feeling like everybody's supposed to be an entrepreneur, everybody's trying to figure out their side hustle, and we have access to so much information that it just adds fuel to the fire. I think in the Christian space, we over-spiritualize business so much to where the Lord has given us an assignment, a dream, a vision, and we just run with it as opposed to taking the proper steps to do the foundational work to make sure that what we're building is actually going to stand. So while the reasoning can be understandable, it's still an excuse. And it's something that we have to course correct, because I believe that the Lord is not just calling us to be scatterbrained people who start and end half done projects, or who launch a business today that never even gets anywhere. And then you launch another one next week and you call it a serial entrepreneurship, but none of the businesses amount to anything. That's not how, in my opinion, the Lord has called us to build. God is way too strategic and intentional and creative for these outcomes that a lot of us have. So what I've learned over the years is that it's important not to skip steps. There have been times where I've skipped steps and I've wasted so much time and so much money. There have been elements or aspects where I did not skip steps, and I've seen the slow and steady ways the Lord has grown and blessed the work of my hands in those areas. There have been entrepreneurs that I've worked with who have prematurely launched businesses, and now we got to go back and redo the business plan and go back and redo the marketing plan and go back and redo the whole podcast concept, artwork, outline, everything, because they ready, shot, aimed as opposed to fully took their time to build it. So for those of you, and if you're in that space where you have done that, you were ready, you shot, and you aimed last, and it's not working, I'm not here to condemn you, but I'm here to put a mirror up so that we can course correct. And for those of you who are getting ready to start businesses and you have these ideas, those foundational elements are very important. We talked about this on the show recently, where we talked about faith is in the fundamentals. I'll put the link to that episode in the show notes. Go back and listen, and I'll go into detail of what those foundational areas are. And of course, shameless plug, join us in the society, because a lot of the modules that we'll be going over this year are walking you through the fundamentals. But again, having a testimony doesn't absolve you from being skilled. If the Lord has called you to be an author, learn the skills of writing a successful book. If the Lord has called you to start a podcast, learn the skills necessary for a successful podcast. If He's called you to start whatever business is, whatever industry your business is in, become skilled in that, and not just at the thing that you do or creating the product or the service that you provide, become skilled at being a business owner. When I got my MBA, everything that they taught us was how to be a manager or an executive in a business. They didn't teach us nothing about how to be an entrepreneur. It was all about how to be an executive. And so as a business owner, I have a job. I'm not just the CEO of the business on paper, but I also have to be that in functionality. And that is a job that comes with a description, skills, and actual responsibilities outside of the specific service that I may provide or the product that I may sell. And I know this isn't the fun stuff, but it's the necessary things in order to have longevity. When I think about 9 years of full-time entrepreneurship, 9 years of this podcast, I hear longevity. This is an example of longevity. I have fully sustained as a self-employed person making multiple six figures for 9 years. That did not come from hype or zeal. It came from foundation, faith, fundamentals, consistency, all of the things that aren't necessarily the bright, shiny objects, but they are necessary to building something that lasts. And we owe it to the Lord to take what He gives us, build it with Him, and build it well. Speaking of fundamentals, my fourth lesson is always diversify your revenue streams. I learned this lesson. I understood this in theory earlier on when starting my business, because I knew I didn't want all of my financial revenue to come from one place, because that's just risky when all the money you make comes from one particular place. It's a bit risky. But I really learned this lesson in practice come COVID. 2020 was such an interesting year and a learning year for me in business. 2020 was a time, of course, we know, when the whole world shut down, where I learned why it's necessary to diversify your revenue streams. Up until that point, I had been monetizing my podcast for a couple of years. And I also was funneling people into different products, services, and programs within my business from the podcast. And at that time, I can't remember. I want to say that my business to business revenue was higher than my business to consumer revenue. And so business to business is what I'm saying is the podcast, advertisers, and all of that, and business to consumer were the things that I was selling in my own business. That year, so many of the businesses and brands that I partnered with froze their marketing spend. I was already expecting a certain amount of money in receivables. So these are companies that have already delegated ad spend to the podcast. I've already taken that into account in my budget, knowing that I'm going to make this much at this time because they've already bought the ad space, all of these different things. And so now all of these companies started pausing their ad spend because they weren't sure how the pandemic was going to impact the business. And that was a bit rough for me because I'm like, whoa, like what's going on? But then what I also saw was because my consumer was at home more. They still were making the same amount because they still had their jobs, but their discretionary income was increasing because they weren't commuting, paying for gas, laboring on their car, outfits, getting dressed every day, buying lunch and coffee while they're out. Now consumers have more discretionary income. And also, people were starting to realize how job security isn't that secure. And people were now exploring hobbies and side hustles to be able to add another revenue stream to their own life. And so at the same time where I saw a huge drop in my B2B revenue, I saw a huge jump in the B2C. I remember there was a business bundle that I did with Raven, who's been on this show, and a few other entrepreneurs. I can't remember. It may have been like 10 of us who all brought together a different digital product that we had, and we sold it as a collective and split the revenue. That bundle was the first one that we did together. It sold $200,000 or more. So I'll say at least $200,000 was made with that partnership. This was done over like a 1 month, 6 weeks tops time period. So, and once you split that amongst all of us, I want to say everybody walked away with at least $25,000. So here I am, low-key, like, what is going on with these sponsors? Like, is this going to really impact my business this year? But then I see this jump in the B2C side. Here comes this partnership where we all came together and walked away with $25,000 off of a month to 6 weeks worth of work. I did maybe a couple emails, two live streams, and this was a course that I had done like years prior. So I did no work on the actual product itself and minimal work to sell it. But that's what the market was doing at that time. And because I had diverse revenue streams, I was able to increase. And then later in the year, marketing spend started picking back up with the brands. So, and it actually increased because now the brands were seeing the same thing that I was seeing from the business owner side. So that was one of my best years. And it really drove home the importance to me of diversifying your revenue streams, because there's always going to be ebbs and flows. There's always going to be something to happen. You can expect that unexpected things are going to happen. So when you are building your brand and your business, diversify your revenue streams so that you have options. And that also gives you data to then create predictability in your business. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I know it's a new year, but let me tell you, the new year does not require a new you. It requires a more relaxed you, a less burdened you. And therapy can help more easily identify what weighs you down and holds you back by offering an unbiased perspective to better understand your relationships, motivations, and emotions. You guys know we talk all the time on this podcast about those internal noises that keep us from being all that we're called to be. I know for me personally, I'm working on my pace. This is something that has been in the works for years, to not try to carry the stress and weight of next week, but just own, relax, and slow down to appreciate the right now. And therapy is a huge part of that. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the United States. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you could focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12 plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfilling rates means that they typically get it right the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, you switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recommendations. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is one of the world's largest online therapy platforms, having served over 5 million people globally. And it works. With an average rating of 4.9 of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with a qualified therapist. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's better, HELP.com. I did podcast episodes previously about creating predictability in your business. Just search the show Predictability. It should come up. We've done I mean, this it's been 9 years. We've covered everything and just continue to provide updated takes. But that also allows you to create a level of predictability in your business as you diversify those revenue streams and then analyze the data year over year. And that leads us into the next lesson, number 5. What is built for him, as in the Lord, will withstand market shifts. Let me tell y'all something. We have the best not so secret weapon when it comes to entrepreneurship, and that is the Holy Spirit. He knows it all. He is the ultimate creator, the ultimate creative, the ultimate strategist, the all-knowing, the author and finisher of all things. And we have direct access to the Lord. We have direct access to the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. We have everything that we need to be successful. We have all the wisdom and or access, let me say that, to all the wisdom that we need. And for as long as you are connected to Him, for as long as you are responsive to Him, you can rest assured that your business will withstand shifts in the market. As this podcast or the podcasting industry has grown over the last 9 years, podcasting wasn't even a billion-dollar industry when I started podcasting. Now it's a multi-billion-dollar industry, and it's a staple. Most Americans listen to podcasts. That wasn't the case when I started. But no matter how this space has grown, no matter how many more people create podcasts, no matter how many more episodes go out into the webs, no matter how many celebrities and corporations now have created podcasts to support their business endeavors, this show has still remained. And so I want to encourage you that no matter how the economy shifts, no matter who's in office, no matter what is happening in the world, if you stay focused on the Lord and you stay obedient to what He has called you to do, what you build will last. Don't let the enemy psych you out. Don't let him instill fear based off of what's happening in the world. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord. The market will shift, but what you build for Him, it will last. Number 7, for those of you who create content, the content that you create should come from your connection with the Lord. As AI has grown, as these platforms have grown and they have all these suggestions about what you should post, what's trending, this is what feeds the algorithm, every platform is trying to tell you what you should say in order to be seen on their site. However, and while those things are cool and all, what you create should be an overflow of your connection with the Lord, because that content, that revelation will never be able to be picked up by any algorithm. We'll talk about this in more detail in the next episode about AI, but AI at its core learns data based upon human behavior, and then it then feeds an individual based upon what that data has learned. And so essentially most of these platforms are doing is feeding people's flesh. So us as believers, we have to guard ourselves against that, because it's feeding our flesh that wants to have a higher ranking video on YouTube with the views, or who wants to have a podcast that has all of these listeners and sponsors, who wants to have social platforms that are growing viral and getting the views and engagement and all of these things. These platforms are feeding that desire to us by trying to suggest what we should be creating. But as Christian entrepreneurs, as thought leaders, we create based off of the overflow of our connection with Him. Remember, we have a God who is all-knowing, who will give us fresh revelation that an algorithm can never predict, who will give us fresh revelation to speak to the heart of His people, whose behavior may not have even caught up with their heart posture yet. He is what allows us to build and create in ways that make the most impact. Please catch what I just said. You should be creating from a place of connection with Him. This show for the last 9 years has been episode by episode a result of revelation and connection to the Lord. I have never sat and created a master list of episodes based off of what other podcasters are doing, what's performing well on these places. The content of this show, I protect with my life to make sure it remains sacred, sensitive, and specific to the Holy Spirit. I do my research as far as like strategy and ways to disseminate the message, but the research does not influence the message itself. Revelation does. And that is a space that you have to create from as Christians. Write that down, because people are not going to tell you that. We like to take shortcuts in the easy way out and not sit before the Lord and really be about this life. And I promise you, you will start to see platforms disappear, people fall off the face of the earth, folks getting exposed, places that you thought were pure, you'll start to see ways in which it's been tainted. And only the remnant will remain. And I want you as a listener of this show to be a part of that remnant. I want you to be a part of the voices that last, that remains pure. So that's number 6. I think I said 7 earlier. Your content should come from your connection. Number 7. We had a whole episode on this, so I'm not going to go into more detail, but this is a lesson over the last 9 years. Focus on thought leadership and not content creation. Go back and listen to that full teaching that I did on that. We are selling ourselves short by building these brands with a content creation mindset. You are a thought leader. Now, I'm not knocking anybody's hustle who is just sharing their life and making a couple of dollars. Cool. Do what you got to do to feed your family. But what I'm talking about, those of us who are called to build these platforms, you are a thought leader, not a content creator. That thought leadership comes from the connection, but you have to protect it. Because right now we're in this creator economy where everything is geared towards content creators. And so if you're not careful and not of the mindset of a thought leader, you could easily be swept into it. I've been on winter break from law school the last couple of weeks. And one of the things that, and as soon as I finished my finals, I jumped straight back into business head on and the podcast and all the things. One of the things that I wanted to focus on was YouTube. It's a platform that I want to get back on, but in a way that makes sense for the phase of life that I'm in and for thought leadership and not content creation. So as I'm doing my research on what's performing well on YouTube, as I'm sitting with the Lord on what I actually have the capacity to do and what He actually needs from me versus what I could be doing, because whatever you could be doing is not always what you should be doing. And I've been doing this long enough to know I'm not interested in keeping up with the Joneses and fighting with these algorithms. I'm focused on exactly what the Lord has for me and doing it strategically. So as I'm doing my research and I'm seeing all that performs well on YouTube, I'm like, okay, this is cool. And I can adapt to it in a way so that I am moving strategically on the platform. So for example, these mini vlogs are very popular. And I'm not interested in, here's a day in the life of a Christian, a law student, a mom of three, and all of these different things. That will do great, I'm sure, as a content creator, but that's taken away from me being a thought leader. So then understanding that, an example is a video that I would do is, here is how I applied the God math formula to my life as a mom, as a podcaster, as a law student. And then I take somebody through my day showing this God math formula, which is a concept that I have taught on that allows busy women to be able to live a productive life with all of the many hats that we wear. So here I am taking a framework that is unique to me and applying it to a format that feeds the algorithm enough to get to see growth. You hear what I'm saying? So I'm not jumping into content creator mode. Is I'm recognizing what's working, but now I'm taking the second extra step of saying, okay, how do I approach this from a thought leader standpoint and not just another creator? And so this is how you continue to build thought leadership in an intentional way. Okay. And again, I did a whole training on this, so I'm not going to go into more detail, but I did want to give that example based off of things that I'm doing right now. The eighth lesson that I want to give you that I've learned over the years is always put yourself in a position where you are connecting with your target audience. One of the things that I love about the society is not only is it a place where I'm able to create something that I needed and solve a problem, but also it's a place where I could be in community with the same people that I'm called to. And that allows me to be a lot more accurate in every area of my business. I'm a lot more accurate in my messaging and how I communicate to my audience because I am in communication with my audience. I'm a lot more accurate in the services and products that I provide because I hear people's actual needs and problems that if I have the ability to solve it, I could create those things to solve those problems, which increases revenue and makes sales easier and all the things. I am able to be a better disciple because I can pour directly into the people that God has called me to, not just indirectly through like content, but I could be in relationship with folks that the Lord has called me to and better serve them as their sister in Christ. And it benefits, as you can see, in so many ways when you're in a position where you're connecting with your audience and you're building community with them. And so you could do this by joining organizations that are relevant to those you're called to, cultivating your own community, joining other communities, going to, if you have speaking engagements, something I like to do when I speak is to hang around. I don't like to show up like right before I got to speak and then leave right after I answer questions. I usually like to go to the dinners. I want to stay and hang around and talk to people. If there's a group going to lunch and I'm invited, I'm going to go to lunch. If there are people getting coffee, I'm going to get coffee with them to talk. When I have my, even the events that I've hosted, even though I'm the host of the event and I'm supposed to come out to speak, I really hang out with the people who have invested their time and their money to come and learn about podcasting or whatever. So I'm going to hang out at the powwows and all of these different things because it just makes me a better servant of the Lord and a better person to be in service to the people who are invested in the things that I put out. And I found that to be so beneficial over the years. Again, it's beneficial to the bottom line, it's beneficial to the marketing strategy, it's beneficial to the products and services, and most importantly, it's beneficial to the witness. Because you could serve and meet people's needs better, not just in the business side, but you could pray for them more strategically. You could encourage them more strategically. You can pour into them and just be better company and a better disciple. So again, this is beneficial in so many ways. Always put yourself in a position where you're connecting with your audience. Don't let these internet gurus try to talk you out of that. Oh, if you want to stay at the event, they need to pay you to stay all day. I mean, in some instances, don't put yourself in a position where, like, you know, you're attending 3 days worth of a conference, but being paid for one talk. Like, you ain't got to go that far. But if you could stay a little bit longer, if you could attend the dinner or lunch or something as the Lord leads, and out of just simply generosity, you should. And I find that to be, again, very impactful in more ways than one. And the last lesson that I want to give you that I've learned over the years is show up and commit. And I think that that's obvious by the fact that this show has been out for 9 years. Show up and commit. I don't know how much longer this show will last. I have an idea of when I think the show will end in my head. And I'm waiting. It's been like a couple years that this year has been on my mind. And so I will, as we get closer to it, I'll see what the Lord says. But I don't know how much longer the show will go, but I'm grateful for the last 9 years. I will continue to show up. I have gone through so much and still pressed record. And there have been some times where I had to put an old episode out and take a minute and then come back. And that's okay too, but I always come back. And I believe that the Lord will honor us continuing to show up and commit to what he's called us to. Consistency matters. So be consistent, show up and commit to whatever it is that he's called you to. So I'll go ahead and end this episode here. I'll do a quick recap. The 9 lessons that I've learned from 9 years of podcasting and full-time entrepreneurship. 1, embrace being a pioneer. 2, treat this as your job and not your identity. 3, having a testimony doesn't absolve you from being skilled. 4, always diversify your revenue streams. 5, what is built for him will withstand market shifts. 6, your content should come from your connection with him. 7, focus on thought leadership and not content creation. 8, always put yourself in a position where you're connected with your audience. And 9, show up and commit. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. Thank you so much for 9 transformative, amazing years. Share this episode with somebody who needs it. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.